Please, and turn to the book of Genesis, if you will. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. And we'll read through verse 24. It says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity this morning to look into it. And I trust and I pray that as we look into the scriptures, that you will speak to our hearts. Allow your Holy Spirit to do that special work that only he can do in our lives. And help us to be open, sensitive, and submissive to his voice and willing to be obedient to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, how many of you men remember the day that you first became a dad? You remember that day? To me, that was a red letter day in my life. September 26th, 1992, Miss Carly Ann Speroni entered the world, and it was a big day. For me. Now, I don't know what the circumstances were surrounding the delivery of your first child, but I know that for me, it was a proud moment, but it was also a scary moment. A scary moment. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you were in the delivery room with your wives? I see a few hands. Well, you know, that marks a real change in American culture. Things have changed a lot over the years. It used to be that husbands always waited in the waiting room for news of what was going on with their wife and their soon-to-be child. It reminds me of the story of the group of three expectant fathers that were standing around in a waiting room while their wives were in the process of delivering babies. And a nurse came into the room and announced to the first man that his wife had just given birth to twins. He said, "Wow, what a coincidence." He said, "I play for the Minnesota Twins." Well, The little while later, another nurse comes in, and she goes up to the second guy, and she says that your wife just gave birth to triplets. He said, "That's absolutely amazing." He said, "I work for the Triple M company." Well, the third guy, he sat down, and he put his hands in his face and his hands, and he began to tremble. And they went over to him and they said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But I work for 7-Up. Now, I have to tell you something. I am always hesitant to speak on the subject of parenting, kind of fearing that someone might think that I'm an expert on this subject, or that, you know, that I'm the perfect parent, neither of which are true. All you have to do is ask my wife and kids and they'll tell you. See, when I speak on this subject of parenting, I'm speaking as a fellow traveler with you. Now, it is true that it's a scary thing to bring children into today's world. Many young couples enter into marriage questioning whether or not they should even have kids. I run into that quite a bit in pre-marriage counseling with young couples. They have doubts about whether or not it would be right to bring children into a world as corrupt and as evil as our own. Is it possible, they ask, and we could ask the question right along with them, is it possible to bring up godly children in an ungodly world? And I would answer that question with a profound and loud yes. Yes, because I've seen in the pages of the Bible that it has happened over and over again. And I'll tell you right now, the most beneficial aid to this happening is that a child grow up with the influence of a godly parent. Now this morning, I want us to look at the life of a godly dad. His name is Enoch. And the thing that made Enoch a godly parent was that every day he walked with God. He walked with God. And it was no easy thing for him to live a godly life. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible describes the society that existed back then. It says that the imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. That is, the thoughts of men's hearts were evil all the time. And things had gotten so bad that it made God sorry that he had ever created man. Now, if you take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Matthew for a moment, Matthew chapter 24, here Jesus describes the days of Noah, Enoch's great-grandson. And I want us to look at what these times were like. So Matthew 24, beginning in verse 37. It says in Matthew 24, 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so that's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. A happy-go-lucky kind of society where everyone can do what he desires with no thought of coming judgment. It was a pleasure-seeking, self-gratifying generation where the laws of God were a forgotten antiquity. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds familiar. And yet, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world like that, Enoch walked with God. And so can every dad in this room. And by the way, so can every mom, so can every single person, and so can every young person. We can walk with God. We can live godly in an ungodly world because we have the same God that Enoch had. We can all walk with God. But that raises a question. What does it mean when it says that Enoch walked with God? What does it mean to be a godly parent in an ungodly world? Well, this morning we want to look at what that meant for Enoch. Now, we don't know a lot about Enoch, but there are three references to him in the scriptures. And let me say this, If I was going to have anything written about me in the scriptures, I would love to have written about me what's written about Enoch. Now, his story is found, of course, in Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, where we read about how he walked with God. But I want you to look at the other two places as well. Hebrews chapter 11 is the other spot. Once you get to Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. It says, by faith, Hebrews 11, 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then one other passage, and that's found in Jude. So turn over to Jude. I almost said Jude chapter 1, but it's only got one chapter. So turn over to the book of Jude. And verses 14 and 15. It says, on Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And so these are the three things that are said about Enoch, the man who walked with God. So what does walking with God mean? Well, first of all, let me say this. Walking with God means to go in God's direction. It means to go in God's direction, not the direction of those that are around me, and not the direction that I want to go on my own. You see, the essence of sin is choosing to go my own way and to do my own thing rather than doing what God wants me to do. In Isaiah 53, 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So the essence of sin is choosing to go my own way and to do my own thing rather than doing what God wants me to do. Now, when Enoch was born, he was born into sin just like us. But something happened that pulled him toward God. And I wonder, could it have been the birth of his son, Methuselah? Suddenly, he had responsibility. Suddenly, he had someone who would look up to him and follow in his footsteps. He was going in his own direction, but he turned around and he headed a different direction. And you know what we call that? We call that repentance. Repentance is changing the way that we walk. I was walking towards sin, but now I'm walking away from sin and towards holiness. I'm walking in the way of the one who is the way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. And so walking with God means that we're going in his direction, doing things his way, not our way. Now, secondly, walking with God means to live by faith. To live by faith. Faith that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Or another way of saying that is, it's faith that God exists and that God is good. He's good. It's faith to believe that your kids have the potential of becoming great in God's hands. It's faith to believe that God can take better care of your kids than you can. Can you imagine sending your kids off to a college campus without the assurance that there is a God and that He is constantly watching over your kids? We're talking about faith to believe that God can take better care of your kids than you can. It's also faith that God can change you and can enable you to be a great dad. And it's faith that God can provide for your family. When the bills are high and the funds are low, how do you react? Do you spend all your time fretting and worrying? Do you overwork yourself to the point that you have no time for your family? Or do you spend so many hours working that you fall asleep when they try to talk to you? We need faith to believe that God can provide for our family. And then, of course, it's faith to enable you to live in obedience to Him. Giving of your finances, telling the truth when it's costly, sharing your faith with those who need to hear. See, walking with God means not only faith for salvation. Now, of course, we can't do without that, right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't do away with faith for salvation, but we're not just talking about saving faith. We're talking this morning about the leaning, the trusting, the resting in God type of faith that we're to have on a daily basis. And so walking with God means to live by faith and to live by faith daily. And then third, let me say, walking with God means to share His companionship in good times and bad. And walking God's way doesn't mean that we follow behind Him in His footsteps, trying to trace exactly the same path He traced long ago. It means that we walk with Him side by side, hand in hand. See, companionship is about talking and listening. We talk to God through prayer, and we listen to Him through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, Abraham was called the friend of God. And that same thing ought to be able to be said about you and me as well, the friend of God. Do your children see you actively pursuing your relationship with God? An important question. Do they see how important God's companionship is to you? Is He the priority in your life? And then let me give you number four here. Four is this: walking with God means to be a strong witness, because you see things the way God sees them, and because you don't, you know, care what other people think. You've got the God of the universe beside you. For example, at your job, you may be asked to do things that are wrong. Now, you know that God is watching, but you also know that He'll forgive you. So you're tempted to go along with what you've been asked to do. But what if you knew that your children could see you? Would you give them the opportunity to be proud of you for standing up for what's right? or would they be disappointed with you for going along with the crowd? You know, the strongest witness that you can have is to send out great kids into the world. It's a wonderful witness. Just a rhetorical question. How many of you dads want to have an impact on your world? I know many of you dads, like me, are approaching that point in your life where you look back over everything that you've done and you ask yourself, what difference have I made in the world? What or who has been changed by my presence here? Kind of like a midlife crisis, I guess you'd say. Well, if you want to have a real impact on your world, let me tell you this, do it through your kids. Do it through your kids. They are your arrows out to shoot out into the world. In Psalm 127, verse 5, it says that you'll be happy if you have your quiver full of arrows. And the point is that your kids are what you shoot out ahead of you. They go where you cannot go, and they accomplish what you cannot accomplish. Well, Enoch had a son whose name was Methuselah, who lived to be the oldest man ever, 969 years old. Methuselah had a son named Lamech, and Lamech had a son named Noah. Now think about this. Enoch's great-grandson was used of God to rescue mankind from extinction. How's that for impacting your world? How's that? But I wonder, what kind of man would Noah have been? And would God have even been able to use him if his great-grandfather and his father and his grandfather and his father, his great-grandfather, his grandfather and his father had not walked with God before his eyes to give him an example of the kind of man God wanted him to be? Enoch had a great influence on the family that was yet to come. When the father is an active believer, there's a great likelihood that his children will also become active believers. And then you add to that mix a godly mother who's also an active believer, and that is a winning combination in a child's life. And it's a strong witness. And so let me ask you, do you have a strong witness before your children? And that leads to number five. Walking with God means to leave behind your family sometimes. In order to go where God was, Enoch had to leave his family behind. And I'll tell you this, walking with God will require that you come apart from your family every single day to spend some personal and private time with God in his word and in prayer. This is so very important. Getting closer to God is the best thing you can do for your family. The best thing you can do for your family. By spending time with God, Enoch had become the kind of parent who could train his children in their own walk with God so that when he was gone, they would be physically and spiritually okay without him. Let me give you two contrasting stories. If you're familiar with sports, you're probably familiar with the name Jimmy Johnson. Well, Jimmy Johnson divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching a college team to become head coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL. He said he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. In pro football, however, she was unnecessary equipment and a distraction to winning. He said winning football was his number one priority, and his two sons were second. You know what that is? That's tragic, is what that is. Now, in contrast to this, Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, said this. He said, "The thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I am always a Christian. Christ is first, family second, and football third." See, that was a man who had his priorities straight. And he was a strong witness before his children. And then let me give you the last one here, number six. Walking with God means to arrive at God's destination, which is heaven. We read in Hebrews 11:6, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, for God translated him. Now, the best way for me to describe what happened to Enoch is with the words of a Sunday school teacher who was trying to describe this event to her students in a way that they would understand. She said this: "It seems that every day God would come to Enoch's house and say, 'Enoch, would you walk with me?' And Enoch would come out of the house, go down to the gate, and down the road with God. He got to the place in his life where he really enjoyed it so much that he'd wait at the gate every day, and he and God would go for a walk. Then one day, God came by and said, 'Enoch, let's take a long walk. I have much to tell you.' And so they were walking and talking, and finally Enoch said, 'My, it's getting late. I'd better get back home.' And God said, 'Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. Why don't you just come home with me?' And Enoch went home with God." And can I tell you this? God's ultimate destination for all of us is to one day be at home with him. And there's only one thing that could possibly stand in the way, and it's this little matter of faith. Faith. Without faith, you can't get into heaven. And that faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for your sins, and who rose again so that you could have eternal life, and so you could have a home in heaven. I quoted a little bit of it earlier, but Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's time you stop walking your own way, turn around, and walk God's way. It's time to repent, to turn around, to take the hand of the Savior, and start walking in the direction he is going. Let me close with this. The gospel musician Hilding Haverson told of overhearing a conversation between his son and two other little boys. The youngsters were bragging about their dads. One boy said very proudly, "My dad knows the mayor of our town." Another one said, "So what? My dad knows the governor of our state." Halverson's son then came up with this touching comment. He said, "That's nothing. My dad knows God." And upon hearing that, Halverson quickly slipped away to his room, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Oh God, I pray that my boy will always be able to say, my dad knows God. My dad knows God." And my question to the dads in the room and the moms in the room and really everybody in the room is this: do you know God? And are you walking close to him every day? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you for the wonderful example of godliness set for us by Enoch. Thank you for putting this in the Bible so that we can glean from it. And I pray that you'd help us now to take these principles from the word of God that we've seen and apply them to our lives so that we can walk with you like Enoch did. Lord, we want to be your friend. We want to have close companionship, close fellowship with you so that our lives can be what they ought to be. And so that as dads, we can be a good example to our children. Lord, help us not to take what we've heard this morning and just leave it here in the church house. But help us to consider this every day of our lives, because it's not just enough to walk with you on Sunday. Lord, help us to walk with you all the other 6 days of the week as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. After church, there will be refreshments downstairs this morning. We invite you to come and hang out for a little bit.